I invite your attention to the book of Romans chapter 12. We're going to finish a message that we started 2 weeks ago. We're going to talk about our reasonable service, Romans chapter 12, but we're going to pick up reading in verse 9, which is where we left off last time, 2 weeks ago. Romans 12, verse 9, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our life. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this service. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for Jesus, the sacrifice for our sin. We rejoice that not only did Jesus give his life, Lord, but he rose from the grave victorious. And because he lives, we too shall live. And now, Lord, I pray you would open your word to us. Cause it to change us. Lord, stir us within that we may be made better servants for you, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Would you like to be a living sacrifice? I'm obviously wasting my time with this message. Oh, come on. Would you like to be a living sacrifice? Okay. Amen. Sure we would. We would like to live to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we open this Word, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, boy, we hang our hat on Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Because, that'll preach. You know? Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your living bodies a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That'll make you reach down there into your preacher voice, you know? But what does it mean? Okay? You can shout it all you want to, but if you don't know what it means, you'll never apply it. If you never apply it, it does you no good. You'll never be a living sacrifice. Therefore, everything Paul writes after that verse is all about how to be a living sacrifice. Okay? He says in verse 2, don't be like the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says in verse 3, don't think too highly of yourself. We won't spend much time there because none of us think too highly of ourselves, right? Well, sometimes we all do, don't we? Verses 4 through 8, he talks about being members of the body of Christ and using the gift that God has given to us as active members of the body of Christ. Now in verse 9, he continues this line of thought of what a living sacrifice looks like. And he starts out, and this is kind of harsh. He starts out when he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Now, we all know what hypocrisy is, right? It's play acting. It's actually a term used to describe the actors of that day who would put on a mask and portray themselves as someone else in a particular play, whatever that play might have been. Okay? So as Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy, he's saying, do not put on the mask when you love. For example, what does that literally mean? Well, have you ever smiled at somebody at church? They come up to you and you smile and you talk to them and you just present this mask. And then when they turn and walk away, you say, oh, I hate you. I hope you hadn't done that. That's hypocrisy. Have you ever smiled at someone and shook their hand at church? Then when you get home, talk bad about them. That's hypocrisy. Did you know that we have a responsibility to love everybody in this church? And to love with the same kind of love that Jesus Christ has for us, that which is unconditional. And that means even when you're hard to love, I still have to love you. Even when I'm hard to love, Beth still has to love me. That's pure love. And he said, Brother Doug, you don't know what somebody's done to me. It doesn't matter. You know, I go back to my children, the days of raising children. I'm going to tell you what, there were times my kids disappointed me. There were times I was angry at my kids. There was times that I would have shook them if Beth had just let me get my hands on them. But there was never a time that I stopped loving them. That's the same kind of family love that's got to be present in the Lord's church. That's what Paul is saying. Let love be without hypocrisy. Goes on in verse 10, be kindly and affectionate. Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. It's so easy to say, I love you. But what Paul is saying here is, he's saying literally, put it into practice. Publicly show people that you love them. Privately show people that you love them. As a matter of fact, that word, the word be kindly affectionate, that word means to dearly love and be devoted to. We're living in a world that do not think a lot of Christians. And I will tell you, it is a great comfort to me to have the people of God that I know have my back week after week. Okay? That is, I cannot describe to you the blessing, the peace that that gives me. And I want you to never take for granted what God has placed at Victory. You know, one of the things visitors, as we have guests at Victory, one of the things that they repeatedly tell me, you can feel the love. You can feel the harmony. You can feel the fellowship. Never take that for granted. It's a gift of God. Protect it, because it makes us who we are. I was looking back, and as I was thinking about that, you know, my daughter, when she was growing up, there's one thing that my daughter knew how to do. She knew how to be a friend. And it did not matter what her friends asked of her in support, she would do it. It was just in her DNA, you know? Now, I must admit, there were times that she didn't pick the best of friends. All right? However, she knew how to be loyal. That's what he's talking about here. When he says, love one another without hypocrisy. Be kindly affectionate. Be devoted. You know? Even to the point, there at the end of verse 10, even to the point that we give preference to one another. You know what he's talking about there? He's not talking about me liking them better than I like them or liking you better. He's talking about making others more important than yourself. That's church family. That is what God has put us here to be and to do for one another. To put our brethren in front of ourselves. Then he goes on. That's part of being a living sacrifice. He goes on in verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know what that word lagging literally means? It means to be lazy. And so we give a literal translation. He said, don't be lazy in diligence. He's saying have a zeal for what we're doing. All right? Have a zeal for your church. Have a zeal for the Lord's work. Let me ask you a question. Did you say, oh, it's Sunday night, I got to go back to church? Or did you say, oh, it's Sunday night, we get to go back to church? Do you think maybe I said, oh, I got to preach again tonight? I didn't. There have been times I have, I'll admit, okay? We're all human. But the point here is there should be an excitement in the people of God. A zeal, not a laziness, I'm here, I'll do it because I'm supposed to do it, but an appreciation for the opportunity that God sets before us. And I'll tell you what, again, never take for granted what a church and having a church family means. And I look at Victory, and the more I look, the more I stop and I count the blessings, the more excited I become. I look back at... Can I be honest with you? It's Pastor Confession Night. A year ago, I asked the church, let's establish this goal. And I said, God had put it on my heart that there were 500,000, that we set a goal of $500,000 for the building program. And I did that because God did put that on my heart. Amen. However, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, God, I don't know that you know what you're doing. I didn't say that, but you know. I didn't have true sold out faith that we'd get there. You know what? God blessed, and we didn't just get there. I don't even know where we are now, 550 or somewhere now in a year's time. What a blessing. What an excitement to be a part of a church that's moving and following the Lord's direction. Does that not make you excited? I look and souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. Families are being touched. Good things are going on at Victory. And you know what my responsibility is? My responsibility is to be excited about it. As Paul puts it. And we all have that responsibility. When you talk about your church, do you let people know how God is moving at Victory? If you do, you know, listen, don't point out the faults, because we have our faults. Amen? We do. We have our shortcomings, but I want to tell you what, our God has no faults, and He is making a difference in the lives of people at Victory. Be excited about the work of the Lord. Then in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Be consistent. Rejoicing in hope. Looking ahead. Do you realize it's going to get better? It doesn't matter where you are, which, you know, honestly, I think it's really good at Victory right now, but I'm looking forward to better times. Is Satan going to attack? Yes, he's going to attack. Is there going to be ups and downs? Yes, there's going to be ups and downs. But guess what? We're on the side of Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. It's going to get better. Yeah. Be consistent with that attitude. Don't let the world see a sour Christian. You know what? That's one thing that has plagued many of our churches for a long time. You go in, you see sour faces, you sing, you know, in some churches, you go in, you see sour faces, you sing half-hearted songs, and you hear a half-hearted message, and you go home and call it good. Well, it's not good, you know. We should be consistently excited and rejoicing in what lies ahead. We should also be consistent or patient in tribulation. You know what that means? That means enduring. Endure tribulation. As I said, there be ups and downs in the life of a child of God. There are ups and downs in churches. Endure it. Press forward. Press through it. God is still God, and He still knows what He's doing. Be patient. Steadfast in prayer. That word steadfast literally means to keep close company with. Always pray. We need prayer warriors at Victory. You know that? Listen, I've heard every excuse in the book. I don't have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. Listen, the greatest weapon we have as a child of God is prayer. It's when we're on our knees. Because I have come to the conclusion and the realization, there's not a lot I can change. But we serve a God who can change anything. Amen. Be steadfast, consistent in prayer, and be giving. Verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And this goes back to having a burden for one another. Listen, there are needs among us. And when we see a need, if it's within our power, we should address that need, right? But I want to tell you something near and dear to my heart, the missionaries. You see, most people don't stop and consider the sacrifice that missionaries make. They have given their life. They go to other countries, sometimes third world countries. And I will be honest with you, we cannot pay them enough for what they do. Yeah? We need to make sure our missionaries have everything they need and above, just because we have a heart for God's men and God's people. Then, that's relationships within the church or within the brotherhood of Christianity. Then he goes outside the relationships with the world, okay? Relationships outside the church. Bless those, verse 14, who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We all got that one down, right? We all got that one down. More or less. Things like road rage, it comes out every once in a while in me, I'll admit. But listen, the world has got to see the love of Christ in us. It's one thing . Well, here's what we've got to know, okay? As children of God, get this, everybody here. As children of God, we will have enemies, all right? Jesus had enemies, and He was the Son of God. Paul had enemies, and he was the best apostle ever, in my book, in my opinion. All of the apostles had enemies, and we will have enemies. This has to be our standard of conduct as we deal with them. In verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. Always be gracious toward those who are not gracious to you, because they take notice. And that's when they see Jesus. It's easy to be nice to people who are nice to you. Have you ever been waited on at a restaurant and you could just tell that person was having a bad day? Kind of rude and short? We all have. What did you do to make that day different for that person? You know? Let them see Jesus in you, even though you don't see Jesus in them, because they're without Jesus on the outside. You know? Bless those who persecute you. In verse 16 it says, be of the same mind toward one another. And do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. What's he talking about? Always have a regard for good things in the sight of all men. That's literally what that means. Be of the same mind toward one another. Always be gracious. And have the mindset of the other guy's good. Brother Doug, he's not doing any good for me. That's not the point. As a matter of fact, that is the point, right? Always have the mindset of doing good for the other guy, because that's the only way that the world will see Jesus. And we will tell them all day long how we love them, but if we don't show them, they'll never see it. How do we show them? Be compassionate toward them. Rejoice when they rejoice. Cry when they cry. Live in harmony with them. Don't be arrogant. Verse 16 where it says, don't set your mind on the high things. Don't be arrogant. Can you believe there are Christians who are arrogant today? Who'd look down on other people because they're not Christians. Well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do this and I don't do that. Well, you just keep advertising what you don't do and they will not spend much time around you. Okay? We live in a sinful world. And the reason we live in a sinful world is because the world is filled with sinners. Right? Makes sense. It's our job to show them a better way. Yeah, we can be around them and let them see the love of God and let them see compassion and caring, even though they do things we don't agree with. As a matter of fact, we have that responsibility. Don't be arrogant and don't look down on them. And most especially, here we go. If it is possible, as much as as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's your responsibility in being a living sacrifice. To live in peace. Don't create trouble. Don't run to trouble. Don't help trouble along the way. And by all means, never seek revenge. Verse 17, look at this. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You want to get even? Take it to God in prayer. And you love them anyway. That's our responsibility outside the church. Honestly, that's our responsibility inside the church. Yeah. Revenge, administration of justice is not our job. And you want to know why it's not our job? Because our judgment is skewed. Okay? We kind of like the things that we like, and we have our own opinions about what justice is, and we think this is certain ways that things should work out. No. Let the God of the universe, who knows all things and He knows all hearts, administer justice as He sees fit. As a matter of fact, when we take it in our own hands, what we're saying is, God, I can't trust You to be a just God. It's a challenge. But never seek revenge. Here's the big one. Verse 21 is probably the most eye-catching part of this whole thing. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'll put it in my translation, okay? This is Doug Hambrick translation. King James had a version. Doug Hambrick has a version too, right? Don't you be conquered by the bad. It's literally what it says. Don't you be conquered by the bad, but conquer the bad with good. That's how to be a living sacrifice. There's enough bad in this whole world, isn't there? I mean, there's some, you know, you look around and you watch the news, and quite honestly, it's depressing. But we're the light in this dark world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. That sounds like something Jesus said, didn't it? I believe it was in Matthew chapter 5. You're the light of the world. If we're not different from the world will never see Jesus. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? First and foremost, do you know Jesus Christ? If not, Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so you could have eternal life. He paid for your sin because you are a sinner. And He wanted a personal relationship with you. Are you a child of God? If not, I want to invite you to come during this invitation. Maybe you're here today and you're fighting the battle. Evils, you know, man, evils surrounding you at work or evils surrounding you outside the church. And boy, it's a battle. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and pray for, Lord, give me the things I need so that the world can see You living in me. That's why you're here. And maybe there are other issues in life. Whatever your spiritual need is, I'd invite you to come in this invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your instruction and Your Word, Romans chapter 12. Lord, oftentimes we read that we're to be a living sacrifice and we stop there. And we never stop and take a real hard look at the rest of that chapter where it tells us how to be a living sacrifice. And so, Lord, tonight as we finish this chapter, cause these words to sink deep within our hearts. Let the world see You living through us. Let us never be vengeful. Let us never be overcome by evil. But Lord, empower us to overcome evil with good. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and all these things we ask for Your honor and for Your glory in Jesus' name.